Welcome freaking back, everyone.
We're back. Bet you thought we wouldn't be.
Bet you thought you got rid of us for good, didn't you?
Never.
We're back after a bit of a break, a hiatus, if you will. But we've been missing y'all and each other.
Yeah, I love our podcast. We won't give up on it that easily.
Yeah, if you thought we would, you were wrong. Guess
think
again.
Think again.
How are y'all doing? We hope you're doing well. Michelle.
Yeah.
What's been going on in your life?
Oh, you know, just living the dream. It's hard to even remember like what the last update was so I can properly update.
You know, we haven't even talked since the Oscars, or like we haven't done
that. That's
an episode
right.
Since
it was the Oscars.
Oscars.
So the Oscars happened and then life took over.
Went on.
Life went on. And did we talk about how we like felt about the Oscars, or we only did the pre-Oscars?
Oh. Yeah. I know. Crazy.
Crazy, right? Considering all the buildup and then we're just like, okay, yeah. It happened.
I did start a new job like the week after the Oscars. So yes. That's why it's been a roller coaster, at least on my end.
Yeah, for sure. Roller coasters abound. But no, everything's been great. Like, we had a good Easter, saw the eclipse. A lot of things happening.
Yeah.
But overall, good. How about you?
Good. The eclipse was really cool.
It was so cool. For those
of
you,
Michelle are both in the path of totality.
We were in the path. And I didn't even, I wasn't like, I was like, oh, this will be cool. But I wasn't like that excited. And then like when I witnessed it, I was like, wow, I'm so glad I got to experience this.
You know, I was like screaming in the middle of the field.
Highly recommend seeing a total eclipse of the sun if you can in your lifetime.
If you have the means, by all means, do it.
If you're ever near the path, get there.
Yeah, it was unfortunately very cloudy in Austin. Which I think, I don't know, for some reason that was like a lot of people were coming to Austin to be in the path, and they were probably like, well, there's lots of clouds, but thankfully during totality they kind of dispersed and I had a pretty good view.
Yeah, same thing happened in Dallas. Like, it was like cloudy and then it was it would be like cloudy and then the clouds would clear and like, so it would go in and out like all the way leading up to it. And then like right when it was total, the clouds like dispersed.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow.
The heavens opened.
And I was like, wow.
I did look with my bare eyes because I couldn't see anything with my glasses on.
Well, they said you could. During
totality. It's not.
And then today somebody was like, well, some eye doctors say that you shouldn't do it even during totality. And I was like, well, then everyone's screwed because I'm pretty sure everyone did it.
I wasn't like staring at it, but I was like looking. And then I would like look through, I was like filming it too. So I would like look through my phone. I don't know if that, I don't know, filters at all, but
yeah, I did that too. I think we're fine.
Yeah, I mean, I can still see, so no noticeable
there was a
changes.
Moment like I was walking back home after totality. I kept like looking up with my glasses and then I like kind of like took them off too early and then I walked inside and I could see like the imprint of the eclipse in my retina.
Just,
and I was like, damn it, is this gonna be forever? But then it went away after like 10 minutes. I was like, I think I'm okay.
We know you don't need that. You don't need another thing.
The last thing I need is
eye.
Another eye issue. For those of you who don't know, I've had a lot of eye issues in my lifetime.
But yeah, that was cool. It's always fun to have like a community moment with the whole world.
It was cool. I liked having everybody outside and like doing the same thing all at once and being mm-hmm. excited.
Yeah.
It felt pure.
It did. It was nice. Otherwise, just starting a new job and all that comes along with that.
Training. Signing documents.
Trainting, signing documents.
Getting set up for success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, there's some pop cultural things that have taken place.
Yeah, we need to catch up.
And we need to.
I'm pulling up my letterbox just to see what
I watched. We obviously need to give our thoughts.
Okay, so like 2024 has been, well, I don't want to say it's been like banging so far because like I think just specifically for me and my taste, it has been just because I've received two of like my favorite pieces of media that maybe in my whole life in like the same month.
Yeah.
So I got to see Dune Part 2 opening weekend with my husband and all my friends, and there was a fire alarm that went off during the middle of it.
Oh no.
So it was like this whole event. But I freaking love Dune Part 2. Like, I can't even explain how much I love that movie. And Denis, he like, it just like reinforced like why he's one of my favorite directors. And I was like, ooh, I was right all along.
I'm so glad.
And so I've seen it three times in theaters, once in IMAX. And it's just so good. Like, anybody that's a Dune head who wants to talk about Dune shit, hit me up because I love it so much.
Yeah, I still haven't seen it, so
I know I need you to see it so we can at least discuss the deets. But I highly recommend soon. If you haven't seen it, try to go in the theater. Like, it's an experience.
I definitely want to go before it leaves theaters. I think I've already missed the chance to see it in IMAX because I was looking at the only theater that was IMAX near me, and it was gone.
Okay, was like, so here's my bad opinion, because I'm sure people are not going to agree with me on this. I enjoyed the IMAX, don't get me wrong, but I wasn't like as impressed as I thought I was gonna be. Like, I love the huge screen and I love that aspect of it, but to me the sound quality in the smaller theater was more like enveloping for some reason. And maybe it was because I was like a little bit like near the door in the IMAX. It just felt like a big huge room, like it felt like cavernous. So not saying I couldn't hear it or anything, but it just like when I went at Alamo Drafthouse, it felt more like bracing for some reason.
Okay.
So that's
maybe I'm not missing out.
Like, I don't know. I'm not a person that's like, oh, I can notice the difference between like 80 millimeter. Like, you know, like I want to learn more about that stuff and I think it's cool. But to me, like, seeing the like regular print of it at Alamo Drafthouse was like just as good of an experience as mm-hmm. like seeing it in IMAX. But I know I might get canceled for that. So not
well,
canceled.
We'll see. I'll have to see what I think. I'm not a huge Dune head, so.
So we'll I liked the first one. I wouldn't say I was like obsessed, and I think it's because I didn't see it in theaters. So we rewatched the first one like the night before and then went and saw two in the theaters. And I was just like, that was a good experience because like it was all fresh, mm-hmm. like the story. And like the second one picks up like moments after the first one. It's not like a time jump or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I really wish I had seen the first one in theaters. But I think when they do the third one, they should do like marathon. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would be really cool.
Didn't they re-release the first one this time around?
I'm not sure. And maybe I just wasn't paying attention because I was like, oh, cool, Dune Part 2. Like, I wasn't like, I didn't walk into it expecting to like love it as much as I did. Mm-hmm. So, and also I'm not like, I like sci-fi, but I wouldn't call myself like I don't love Star Wars. I don't love like those types of movies. I like them. Like, I like Arrival, like stuff like that, like Denis stuff.
I feel like you're a sci-fi person.
Really?
At least relative to me, I guess. But yeah, I feel like all your favorite movies are like kind of sci-fi.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like I do enjoy it when it's good and like I feel like matches my specific taste. Like when I talk about Star Wars, I'm like, meh. Like, you know, like, and I think true, like, sci-fi people, like, love, like, Star Trek and Star Wars and, like, those types of movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not, like, super big on those. But you could tell watching it that Dune, the story was, like, a big influence on George Lucas. So, like, I enjoy the, like, twists and turns the story's taking. But there's a, like, seriousness, a self-seriousness to, like...
Yeah.
Dune that like I feel like Star Wars, like those Marvel movies are a little more like wink wink nudge nudge like corny joke. Mm-hmm. And I don't love that as much as I like something that's like from the dawn of time, like, you know, that's like,
yeah,
serious, like this is life and death. Yeah,
interesting that you say that, because well, I also rewatched Dune Part 1 because I was planning on going to see Dune Part 2 like pretty soon after it came out. Uh-huh. And then I just never did. I never saw Dune Part 1 in the theater either. And my second time watching it like recently, I kind of just had the same experience as my first time watching it, where I was like on my phone a lot, not mm-hmm. really able to like pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched David Lynch's Dune, and that movie is, I think, very kind of maligned and not well liked.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it better than the first Dune.
Really?
I was like, I think it's because it wasn't as self-serious as Dune is, and it's a little bit more goofy, and it kind of like... it like holds the hand of the audience a little more, which I feel like I need. So
it's a complicated story. It's kind of like I almost related it to like something like Game of Thrones, where there's just so many characters that you have to keep track of, and you're like, yeah, why is this person important? Who is this? What is this family? Like, it's like that, which I do like enjoy, and I like stuff like that. So yeah, I wanted to watch the David Lynch one, but then I decided not to because it covers, doesn't it cover some all stuff. Three books or something?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to know what happens in the next one yet.
I'm trying to even remember because, like I said, I watched these like before Dune Part 2 even came out. So it's been like a couple months, but I want to say it really only maybe went into the second one.
Okay.
But don't take my word on that. Maybe, like, look it up before you watch it. But I don't remember it going too far past, like, what happens in the first Dune.
I'm not opposed to it, and I'm not saying I wouldn't like the David Lynch one. Like, I like a lo-fi kind of, like, cheesy. Like, I've seen, like, screen grabs from it, and they're, like, eyes glowing, and I'm like, that's hilarious. Yeah. But I also think, like, maybe David Lynch version of, like, that humor would be more something I would like more than like a George Lucas.
I am very much aligned with like David Lynch's style and like tone and humor, so I wasn't surprised that I like liked it better. But I mean, I wouldn't say it's like my favorite David Lynch movie, obviously, but I did kind of, it kept my attention more than,
well, you need to see the second one in theaters and then say which one you like better, because I feel like you need to view Part 1 and Part 2 as like one unit, because like really Part 1 is, I mean, at the end of the movie they say this is only the beginning. It literally is just the beginning. Yeah. So
you know,
But yeah,
I remember when it came out and people didn't know that it was a part one.
They're like, where is Zendaya?
Everyone was like, what?
yeah, I remember there being like very mixed opinions about it. And I really think it didn't help that they released it in theaters and on Max on the same day. Like they should have. I mean, I know it was like peak pandemic, so they didn't really have a choice. So it's sad, but it's definitely a theater experience movie, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm excited for you to see it and then hear your thoughts.
Yeah. I'm going to go see it soon.
And then, I watched Wonka and I didn't like it.
Speaking of viewing interruptions, remember when I saw that?
We can't get through a Timothée Chalamet movie without a fire alarm going off.
The boys are out for Timmy. I wish mine was a fire alarm. Yeah, that was wild. I went and saw it in theaters, and it was like about 5 minutes from ending. And literally Timmy like opens his mouth to sing, "Come with me." And then people start running out of the theater. And I'm like, what is happening? I get outside to a million ambulances and helicopters. And there had apparently been an altercation, which involved a gun, unfortunately, in the mall that I was seeing it in. Everyone was okay. It wasn't like a huge thing, but
it's yeah, so it was a very, very scary,
scary
like incident. That's the last thing you want to see is just people running.
Yeah, it was horrifying. Like,
not laughing, I'm just laughing because I'm like, it's so ridiculous. Yeah, so even have to put up with this.
Not to make light of it, but yeah, it was like, and again, this has been a few months now, but I remember at the time I was like, that's literally my worst fear, is like that vision of people just right. Like running.
Well, that's what we were talking about too when like the fire alarm went off in our movie. We just like went outside in the back and we were all like, you don't even know anymore like why it's going off, like right. It could be anything. It so be we're anything. Like yeah
it just sucks that, like, I don't know, I feel like if you're in a crowded place at all, it's just like that's always gonna be in the back of your mind. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways.
Yeah, I didn't like Wonka.
I didn't care for it either. Certainly not, he's not my only, but
I just feel like Wonka need, and I get it was like an origin story, but I was like, I need him to be a little like, have a little edge, a little creep factor.
I mean, who knows what Wonka was like as a 21-year-old man?
Surely not like that.
Yeah, as I was watching it, I was not at all even like connecting those two characters in my head. Like, no. They just felt,
and maybe
like,
that was purposeful, but then I'm like, just write a different movie, write another, or just candy making movie.
Yeah, don't try and make it Wonka.
Don't make it Wonka.
Also, if you're going to, then you should cast Jeremy Allen White.
You know what? They still might.
You know what? You're on to something. So should we talk about the other big thing came out?
My favorite two things in this world. Dune Part 2 and Cowboy Carter Act 2 Beyonce.
Yeehaw!
Yeehaw, y'all! Never in my life
did it again.
Have I wanted to embrace my country roots until now.
She did it again.
Beyonce
y'all.
Made that happen. Beyonce made that happen.
We are not worthy.
No, and like honestly, I haven't stopped listening to the album in full since it came out.
I know,
like over
it's
and
so
over.
Good.
I'm like, and run it again. Run
Start
it again.
Again. 27 tracks.
Yeah.
An hour and like 18 minutes, something like that.
It's so long.
It's so long and so just
it's a full experience
immersive.
And Yeah, I highly recommend if like you're somebody that doesn't like listen to Beyonce or like don't just like go listen to Jolene and then judge the album based on that. Like listen to the whole album in order.
And the transitions.
Yeah. It's an experience. It's not just a skip around type of thing.
Yeah. Go ahead.
What are your favorite tracks?
Okay, so I was just gonna say, I have not been able to stop listening to Bodyguard morning when I wake up.
I love like, this Bodyguard.
This is gonna set the tone for my day.
Bodyguard really like gives me like Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah,
vibes.
It's like. Ooh. Oh, I love it so much.
Yeah, it's giving me the like 70s like
it's like the so- era. It's like such a like in the car with the windows down vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. And I think it okay, so I could honestly say like the first like 7 tracks are like my favorite cuz they all just feel so like they like continue into one another.
Yeah.
I think that one of my top, maybe my number one or two, is American Requiem.
I love that's like the best opening track.
It's the best track one that I've heard ever. In a long time. Yeah, it's like a perfect track one.
It's so good. I love that one too.
It's so like it just really lays out what we're about to hear. Like it feels like such a good intro into. Like all of the different genres that are coming our way over the course of the album.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it so much.
And then opening with that and then ending with Amen, where it's kind of like a reprise almost.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just makes you want to like start it over.
Yeah, like, it's giving so, Dark Side of the Moon.
It's so good.
Yeah, I love it. And then obviously that goes right into Blackbird, which literally gave me chills up and down my spine.
I know.
And I cried.
So good.
One of my favorite songs of all time.
I know. And it's so good.
Yeah, you texted me, you were like, have you heard on the morning that it dropped?
You were like, I didn't even know.
I have to run.
I know. And like hearing, I'm sure you had heard that before, but like reading about Paul McCartney's like intention behind it and thinking about like black women during the civil rights movement like it, when writing this song I didn't know any of that so that would just like made it like that much more emotional.
I know and it's perfect.
It's
I'm so,
so
glad she just covered that and like included the other women on it
and I'm glad that like juxtaposing that with like a cover like Jolene like she left Blackbird like exactly how it was written basically like she didn't like change it at all
right
and I think that was like a good choice
yeah me too
and then featuring all those different country artists chef's kiss
and then what is after is that after
it
that
goes
is
into
the 16 Willie
carriages
Nelson? Oh 16 carriages yeah. Yeah, I just feel like that whole first, like, quarter, third of it is, like, I could listen to that literally on repeat all the time.
It's so good. And, like, even, like, I loved the single she put out before the album came out, like, 16 Carriages and Texas Hold'em. But, like, hearing them in context inside the album, they hit even harder. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is so good. Like, having Willie Nelson, like, start that, like, radio hour and then going into Texas Hold'em. I'm like, this is so perfect.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when Texas Hold'em starts and you're like, everyone get on your feet. Like, everyone knows this one. Like, yeah.
And then it gets real party towards the end, which I feel like that happened on Renaissance too, where it's like the later tracks in the album, you like, it's time to really get down and dirty.
Down and dirty.
Like,
yeah. I love that. I also, one of my other favorites, and I want to hear your top tracks too. I really like Sweet Honey Buckin', which is one of the last tracks. I feel like that one's like, yeah. like a mechanical bull.
Look at that horse. Look at that horse. Look at that horse. greater prose has yet to be written.
Look at that horse.
No, I love, like, honestly, when people ask me my favorites, I'm like, they're all my favorites. But I love Bodyguard. I love River Dance.
Mm-hmm.
I love Yaya. I showed Yaya, and she was like loving it.
That's also up there for me.
And then what else? Oh, Tyrant. Yeah. I love Tyrant so much. My husband's favorite is Alligator Tears.
Mm, I like Alligator Tears.
Because he likes the little pluck, the like ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, I love that little riff. And Two Hands to Heaven.
And Two Hands to Heaven. They're all, oh my God. And we didn't even talk about Two Most Wanted and Levi's Jeans.
Oh my love gosh.
Those. Both of those are good.
So good.
All, like, literally, there's not a bad
there's so
song.
So many bops.
Like, if I had to remove one, it would be Jolene, which says a lot.
Yeah, I want to know how you feel about that cover, because I feel like that's really the only song that's kind of getting dogged on.
It's interesting because, like, she knew that, like, that there would be the most scrutiny on that song, but she put it in there anyways, which I, like, love. She's like, I don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. But, like, I mean, I like the song. I think it's fine. I don't, like, have any strong feelings towards it one way or the other. Like, I like the original too, but I also don't, like, it's not my favorite song of all time or anything. So
I don't really get people's, like, criticism of, like, she took out, like, the desperation in Dolly's voice was what made the song so good. And I'm like, no, it's, I mean, yes, that's a part of it. But also, like, if Beyonce sang it that way, it wouldn't feel true to her. Like,
right. Like, this is how, like, her views on, like, the situation, basically. So it's like,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't get why there's been so many, like, think pieces about this song. I'm like, they're like, literally every original song on the album, I feel like, is more interesting than that one song. So the fact that people are focusing on that is a little frustrating to me, because it's like, well, you obviously people were going to, like, zoom in on that because that song is so famous. But, like, then, like, when they're doing that, they're missing, like, all this other stuff.
They're,
like,
literally proving her whole point and her reasoning for writing the album, like,
right, yeah, exactly.
There, it's like those, you know, country purists, like, getting angry for how dare someone try to, like, enter the realm or whatever. Mm-hmm.
So if that one was removed, I don't think I would miss it, but I also am not mad that it's there. It's kind of like, yeah, that's the only
leave it, but I mean, I'm glad that it's there. I listen to it. Like, I'm not.
Yeah,
gonna skip
I don't
it.
Skip it. No, I don't skip it at all. So yeah.
And Dolly literally wanted her to cover it. So
yeah, like, she obviously gave permission, and she's, like, on there, like, talking.
Yeah. So shut up.
So every. I like how we're, like, arguing with people on there, like, oh, we agree with you. Anyways, stream Cowboy Carter. Don't stream that other album that's about to come out. Just kidding.
On April 19th, everyone especially go stream Cowboy Carter.
Just kidding.
JK.
But, oh, did you see the people that, like, thought that she was, like, on a background vocal?
Yeah,
so embarrassing.
I was like, baby,
like, literally embarrass yourselves a little more.
That's funny.
Anyways, no, it's so good, and I will be listening to it all summer long. Still unsure if she is going to do a tour.
Yeah, I guess weren't the rumors that she was going to announce this Friday?
Was it this Friday or last Friday?
Or was
Friday?
It last Friday? I can't remember.
I thought it was last Friday and then nothing. Well, I think we got the remix to Texas Hold'em last Friday. But
she should drop tickets on April 19th.
So I will actually be, like, so surprised if she does another full ass tour.
Yeah,
because she just, I mean, it's been like, I guess a good 6 months since Renaissance Tour ended, but that's a lot of work.
It's like, a lot of work.
I can't imagine finishing something like that and then be like, let's do it again. Mm-hmm. But I guess people do it all the time, but.
Maybe she'll do like a truncated version.
Or I heard rumors that she would do like a stint at like the Sphere in Las Vegas or something.
I heard that too. That would be awesome.
I would want to go, but then it would be even harder to get tickets than a regular tour. I know.
But imagine the visuals of like a horse galloping around the Sphere.
We would all be like, look at that horse.
In like a saloon or something.
That would be so cool. Okay, I will do whatever it takes to get there.
That would be awesome. She should do that. And then she releases Act 3, do like a full tour, obviously.
Again. Yeah. And then Act 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Just kidding. Just all of her albums from now on are acts.
Yeah, somebody on Twitter was like, why did we all decide that it's only going to be 3 acts? And I was like, that's a good point. Did she ever say it was 3? I guess we all just assumed.
That's the typical structure of a story, but...
Yeah, a trilogy.
But you never know.
But yes. So Dune Part 2 and Cowboy Carter changed my life in 2024.
And I'll never be the same again.
And I will never recover.
Yeah, I'm so glad it was as good, like it lived up to my expectations.
Me too. Which I had no doubt, but like the fact that it seems like a broader range of people are so excited about it is fun. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you just want your faves to succeed.
Yeah. I don't know if you, do you ever listen to Brittany Broski's podcast?
I don't listen to her podcast, but I see her on TikTok.
Yeah, I just love like listening to her talk about Beyonce because she's obsessed. So deep in the lore and like
she's hype for real.
Yeah, she will she will go to battle for Beyonce, and I love it. So I listened to her episode on Cowboy Carter, and she's just.
Oh, yeah. If you're interested, like, I would listen. I'll probably listen to her episode about Cowboy Carter. I also listened to a few podcasts that did, like, track by track, like, breakdowns. And they were all good. Like, Los Culturistas did one. Keep It did one. And I think they did one on Ringer feed.
Yeah.
What is it called?
Ringer Dish feed.
Ringer Dish feed. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good episode.
So if you're interested in something more in depth like that.
I love hearing people love stuff as much as I do. So
what have you been watching and loving this year?
Well, this year, let's see. Let me pull up my Letterboxd. I haven't really watched like a ton of stuff. I went and saw Love Lies Bleeding. Which I actually really liked.
I wanted to see that. I didn't get around to it.
Yeah, I really liked it. It was like kind of a little different than I was expecting, but overall, like the vibes were on. And it was kind of like there were some risks taken as far as like, I guess, like sort of breaking into like the surreal. Would be a way to put it, but I don't know. I think it was it was fun. Yeah.
I've been enjoying Kristen Stewart's like media campaign for Love Lies Bleeding. I've seen like a couple of interviews and listened to a couple. And it's just so like nice to see her like I remember watching her when it was like Twilight like media coverage and like obviously she was like a teenager. But I just feel like people were so hard on her during that period and the way that she acts or like her attitude about it all.
Right.
And like now she's obviously, I think I looked it up. She's like a few weeks older than me. Like exactly.
Yeah. Her birthday was like
so
yesterday.
So like we're obviously in our 30s now and she's like so comfortable with herself. Yeah. She's like so like comfortable in her skin now and like so much more sure of herself. And like listening to her, it just like makes me happy because I'm like,
oh, me too. You yeah. Did it. I've you seen did it, a girl. Couple of clips and I'm like,
you made it through the wilderness.
We made it through the wilderness.
Like both her and Rob, I feel like they were there was probably times when they were going through that Twilight stuff where they like questioned,
yeah,
do I really want to do this anymore? Yeah. Like, you know, so I'm just happy really, that both of them.
They're both really talented. And she's so good in this. And I was like, the girlies are going to be simping for Kristen Hart after
the girlies this. Are girling. Yeah.
So I really liked it. I think it was a good, it wasn't that director's debut, but it was like one of her first movies.
Oh, cool.
So
cool. We love a directorial debut.
And
I saw Immaculate.
Oh yeah. How was that?
I enjoyed it. I also really want to see The First Omen because apparently the stories are very similar.
Yeah, the big picture made me like want to see The First Omen. Obviously, I probably won't.
There's no way. There's no way. I don't think you should.
You know I love demonic stuff. You know how I live for that.
No, but I really enjoy seeing Sydney Sweeney like in comparison to something like Anyone But You, which I liked. I didn't love. I think she's just better at being like
crazy over the top.
Crazy. Yeah. Like going.
Yeah.
Going for it.
Yeah, I agree.
So, and I really enjoy that she's not afraid to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of people that wouldn't want to like not look pretty or like stuff like something
especially
like that.
Especially when you look like her. she's just like so beautiful.
I mean, it's really hard for her to not look pretty, but like she'll like go there and be gross and be like over the top and like disgusting type situations. And I like the end of that movie, I was literally like everyone in the theater was literally like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It was like pretty like a pretty good presentation. I wouldn't say it's a perfect movie, but I think the ending really like brought it all together.
I feel like I understand the instinct to want to like dip your toe into like the rom-com universe, but I agree that like maybe that's not the best fit.
And I don't think she was at this point. I don't think she was bad in that movie, but I'm just like more interested in seeing her do other stuff, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't love her in that movie. But maybe, you know, you can get better at stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, Glenn Powell was definitely more suited for it than I felt like she, or maybe more like ready for it than maybe I felt like she was. But
oh my god, I'm so excited for Hitman.
I'm excited for Hitman and Twisters. Challengers,
Twisters. There's so much coming up. Bike Riders. I'm ready.
Joker Folia 2.
Folia 2.
The trailer dropped. Have you seen?
Yeah, I saw part of it. I didn't watch the whole thing though. I mean, I'm gonna be there no matter what, so
I'll be seated.
I'll be seated.
If Lady Gaga is in the film, I will be seated.
Yeah, if Lady Gaga is getting screen time, I'll be there.
Like, if there's one constant, it's me showing up for a Lady Gaga joint.
And if we're lucky, on the campaign trail for an Oscar.
Like, can you imagine her and Joaquin Phoenix doing what her and Bradley Cooper did?
I hope. One can only hope that for, like, some demented
so
version of that.
Funny. Like, I'm praying.
I'm praying to the gods.
I'm praying.
I also saw...
We both watched... Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I also saw Monkey Man.
I also saw Monkey Man.
What did you think?
I liked it. I didn't love it.
That's exactly what I've been telling people. I was like, I liked it. I didn't love it.
I enjoyed the story. I mean, it was a very basic, like, revenge plot story. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed some of the choices he made as a director. And I could see, like, what he was wanting to do. And there were times in the film where I felt like it worked and then times where I felt like it didn't.
There were times where I just felt like it was a little too iterative of, like, I haven't even seen John Wick, but, like, I can obviously tell that was a big influence. Mm-hmm. I did like the story, the where it was set and like the story surrounding it, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
one thing I really liked was the training montage. Mm-hmm. I thought it was like an actual like new take on something that's been done a bunch of times, so right. I liked that part of it.
Yeah,
I also love just like looking at Dev Patel. So.
He's so hot, literally sexiest man alive. and I loved the incorporation of like trans representation and like that whole aspect of it mm-hmm. was really cool. Just having that group of like ladies become his squad was cool.
Yeah. I liked that too.
And what else? Yeah, I mean, the fights were good. I enjoyed watching the fights.
There was some parts where people were like it was so screaming. Graphic that people were shocked, yeah. Which I like enjoyed like that aspect of it because it's hard to like really shock people anymore.
Yeah, I like that too. It was fun to, it was fun to watch in theaters. Like I went with my friend and we were kind of like pushing each other like, oh my god, mm-hmm. like we can't even watch because some of
I guess my funny. Only real complaint with it was there was some editing choices that I felt like were very disorienting. Mm-hmm. Like, and I know that can be like a choice, but it didn't feel purposeful, right? I guess.
Yeah.
So
I've been hearing that basically, like, Jordan Peele came in and really kind of, like, overhauled it as far as, like, pacing and stuff. Mm-hmm. Or, like, helped him with that. But I agree. There was some, like, shaky close-ups and, like, following actions.
Like, cuts that I was like, well, we didn't even see that frame, so what was
the point? Yeah, what was the point of, like inserting that? Yeah,
I agree. Right, exactly.
But yeah, overall it was entertaining. Probably best to like see it with a crowd. That mm-hmm. probably adds to it. But mm-hmm. I'm excited to see what Dev gets up to next.
Me too. I was going to say we both watched the Steve Martin documentary.
So we both my husband.
The way.
Oh, that's my husband. He's my king.
Love. And like, it's so funny that I like it. It's part of what they talked about in the documentary too, but I really did like felt like I didn't know anything about him, even though he was like one of my favorite like people in comedy, people in movies, people in anything. Like I really had no idea anything
I feel about like his life. As children of the 90s, we like definitely grew up with a certain version of Steve Martin.
My dad.
But to like think of him as like literally the most successful stand-up comic like ever is like a weird, it's like we don't know that version of him.
So yeah.
It's really
and
cool
it was
to
like
be
purposeful how he kind of left that behind and wanted to leave that in the past and like start a new like chapter. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was like watching some of that footage of like the stand up and like the crowds and like him like taking people outside. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like I had never seen any of that.
He was a rock star.
Yeah, it was so good. I highly enjoyed it. So if you're a fan of his, I recommend it.
It's
on
like
Apple TV Plus.
It's a 2-part documentary where the first part is like the height of his fame in the 70s and like SNL and doing his tours and all of that stuff, and then the second part is like more current, like what he's doing now, and mm-hmm. it's very interesting. I like the way that they structured it.
There's a part where he was talking about John Candy and Trains, Planes, and Automobiles, and he like started crying, and I was like sobbing.
Stop.
I was like, stop it. My heart can't handle this.
Yeah.
That part. And then there was another part where he was like doing an interview and he was talking about something with his dad.
Yeah.
And I was like, inconsolable. Yeah,
it was like, I think it was part, somebody had read his memoir and he was talking about like his relationship with his dad. And the person
who it was the New Yorker article.
Oh, right.
He wrote to his dad.
Right. Then the person who had read that article was like, this article made me pick up the phone and call my son. And he was
and he was like getting all choked up talking about it. And I was like,
literally, so I cried at that part.
Yeah. Me too.
I thought it was very interesting to see, like the aspect of his like personal relationship life, like how he was always like single throughout most of his adult life. And I was like, he's just like me for real.
It was weird. No, it was kind of weird though. Like I felt like in the first part before he like got famous, he always had a different girlfriend.
Yeah.
Like for a while it was like, and then this was my girlfriend. Then this was my girlfriend. I was like, dang, how many girlfriends did you have? And then he was like single for like 20 years.
Yeah. And then he met his wife. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like relatable.
Relatable king.
But yeah, it's a good doc. Everyone should go watch it if you're remotely interested in Steve Martin.
Mm-hmm. On Apple TV Plus. Yeah. I mean, there's other stuff, but should we talk about like where we want to take our little podcast?
Yeah.
Going forward.
We're going to change up the watching up segment a little.
We're going to get back to like our original goal with the podcast of like watching new things that we've never seen before. And especially things from like the past that we kind of missed out on growing up. So what we're going to do is we're going to take every year from 1970, I think we said, until today.
Yeah.
We're going to put those years in a hat. We're going to draw a year every week. And then we're each going to pick a movie from that year that we haven't seen or like have been wanting to see, or it's on our watch list or whatever. And then we'll talk about it.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And I think it'll be a fun little experiment and get us out of our comfort zones. Or at least me.
Yeah. I was thinking like maybe there might even be some stuff that I like want to rewatch because I feel like when I was like a baby cinephile, I like watched all of this stuff because I was like, oh, I have to watch this. And now I'm like, people ask me if I've seen something. And I'm like, I have seen it, but I literally don't remember anything about it because I was like 14 when I watched it. So
yeah.
So I feel like I need to revisit some of the mainstays.
Yeah, for sure. There's no rules. So
there's
if you've
no
seen
rules.
It before and want to see watch it again and talk about it, then are we each going to watch the ones that the other one picks too?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. What do you think?
That's a good point.
I mean, there's a potential that we could like I could pick something that you've already seen and vice versa.
But I feel like it's more likely that I will pick something that you've seen and
well,
I will
I know,
not
but
see
like
anything.
If that is how it shakes out, then we wouldn't have to.
Yeah. Like if we've already seen it, then we can like just discuss it maybe unless we want to rewatch it. Or if I haven't seen the one you pick either, then maybe I could try to watch
both. Yeah. We can do
so that. We can have a meaningful discussion.
Right. So that's the vibes. Hope you guys stick around.
That's what we're doing on Watching Up.
And that's the Watching Up. And that's Watch Up. Yay, exciting stuff.
Thanks everyone for your patience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for coming back if you're listening to this. We love you.
If anybody comes back.
We love you big time.
We love you.
Let us know your thoughts on any of the things we've discussed, especially Cowboy Carter.
Yeah. Unless you are a hater, then
unless you didn't like it, and then don't say shit. You can feel free to follow us on social media at Watching Up Pod and email us watchinguppod@gmail.com. And we will see you when we see you next. Yeah, we're planning to instate our new Watching Up in the next episode. So come back for that.
Yes.
Love you lots.
Love ya. Bye.
See you soon. Bye.
No, that's all I have to say.